Welcome to this RCGP podcast on prescribing safety. I'm Dr. Emma Nash, GP and e-learning fellow at the RCGP. Today I'll be talking to Professor Tony Avery, GP, Professor of Primary Healthcare at the University of Nottingham and National Clinical Director for Prescribing. Thanks for joining us today, Tony.
Thank you.
So let's start with what have been the biggest developments in prescribing safety, do you think, over the past 10 years? And what impact do you think they've had?
Yes, so there have been a number, and I'm thinking here of perhaps some of the national drivers for change, some of the advances we've had in our IT system and in support for prescribing. So just running through some of those, then certainly one helpful driver has been the World Health Organization Patient Safety Initiative around prescribing, which really flagged that as an important worldwide problem of medication errors. And in the UK and England in particular, the then Secretary of State commissioned a group to look into how we might address that. And one example of that in relation to primary care was the national rollout of the PINSA prescribing safety intervention through the academic health science networks. And that has resulted in a reduction in hazardous prescribing. So that's one good example. The NHS has also had its national patient safety strategy. And within that, there's quite a bit there around medication safety. And there's a medication and safety improvement program, again, as part of that, with some really good national leadership around focusing on some of the most important medication safety problems, and particularly important ones in primary care. Then in 2021, then the National Overprescribing Review was published, and that highlighted on the problems of overprescribing, the safety problems associated with that, and came up with 20 different recommendations for addressing that, many of which are safety related. Most recently, then NHS England has published a framework for integrated care boards and primary care networks for personalised care for people taking dependence-forming medicines and medicines associated with withdrawal symptoms. And that's leading to, or will hopefully lead to, some improvements in the care for those patients, and particularly help in terms of people getting off those medicines if they want to get off them. So in terms of the other things, there's been advances in the IT available to us in general practice, particularly in terms of clinical decision support software. I think it's still got some way to go, but in some cases we are getting more specific and helpful alerts to guide us towards safe prescribing a decision. Then, you know, taking advantage of fantastic data we've got in the NHS, then the NHS Business Services Authority and other organisations have got information available highlighting safety issues, highlighting outliers. We've had a massive expansion in number of primary care pharmacists, so well over 3,000, bringing their knowledge and skills. They're involved in various ways, but safety is an important aspect of their role. So I'd already mentioned the Academic Health Science Network and the Patient Safety Collaboratives and Patient Safety Centres. So they're also focusing on this. So not only have they been involved in the rollout of PINSA as a safety intervention, but there's also the polypharmacy programme, which they're running nationally across England, aiming to help upskill primary care workforce and get the message out around polypharmacy, tackling polypharmacy and safety issues related to that.
Excellent. So you've talked about a few of these drivers for prescribing safety over the past 10 years. If we look back to 2013, the practice study was done for the GMC. How do you think prescribing's changed since publication of that study?
So, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that publication of the study has led to major changes, although it has led to some. So, for example, within it, a recommendation came for their greater emphasis on prescribing and prescribing safety in Royal College GPs exam. GPs in training now do a prescribing safety assessment. But there have been other developments, not necessarily related. Electronic prescribing service has expanded, so it's gone from being in its sort of fledgling state to it just being a routine part of everyday practice now. There's big changes in relation to the NHS and the introduction of integrated care boards and primary care networks. Certainly the introduction of integrated care boards, if it works, really should lead to breakdown of siloed working and more joined up working. So, for example, in trying to tackle dependence forming medicines and the problems associated with that, it should be easier and there should be greater motivation to be doing that at an integrated care board level than there perhaps was when we were working in a more siloed way. And then, of course, there's been expansion of community pharmacists and their role in relation to prescribing and coming up, obviously, is greater independent prescribing from pharmacists and particularly community pharmacists. And then, of course, there's been the teleconsultations and text messaging services, which really have expanded massively since the pandemic. And I think as a result of just the expanding workload and trying to cope with the workload in general practice, we're much more now using templates and text messages to be gathering information from our patients about how they're doing with their medicines, getting monitoring information on them. So to help guide our prescribing and particularly medication reviews.
Excellent. So you talked a little earlier about the upcoming focus on overprescribing, polypharmacy and deprescribing. What's your perspective on these issues and how they might be addressed?
So clearly, you know, overprescribing is an important problem which leads to patient harm, challenges for patients in taking their medicines, and also unnecessary waste. Now, medicines over the last 20, 25 years, the number of medicines dispensed for patients in the community in England has doubled. Now, that's not necessarily all inappropriate prescribing. Most of it is driven by the fact we've got an aging population. We have increased indications for medicines. But some of it is either not necessary and not ideal for patients. And so the National Overprescribing Review really flagged these challenges, particularly in relation to polypharmacy in older and frail people and in relation to patients taking dependence forming medicines or medicines associated with withdrawal symptoms, where again we've had people with ratcheted up doses and really not benefiting a great deal or even being harmed by their medicines, all prescribed I think in good faith and with good intentions. But we've clearly got a real challenge here, and that's something that the National Overprescribing Review implementation is trying to tackle in a number of different ways. Yeah, so we're looking at changing culture, both in terms of the public and getting the message out there, which I think is accepted by the public, that there's not necessarily, well, there may be a pill for every ill, but it's not necessarily the case that you should be taking a pill for every ill. And then for ourselves as prescribers, it's often the easiest thing for us to do as a prescriber. It's something we can do in a consultation, but we've just got to be very judicious about that, or even more judicious about that, particularly in relation to dependence forming medicines or patients where they've already got polypharmacy, and making sure that we are having appropriate reviews just to make sure patients don't get stuck on medicines that actually are not really helping them and may indeed be harming them. It's looking at prescribing processes, looking at how best we can be using our repeat prescribing systems and monitoring. So there's some work going to be going on with the Royal College GPs and the Royal Pharmaceutical Societies to come up with updated guidance on repeat prescribing systems. Looking to make best and better use of digital technologies in relation to helping identify patients where overprescribing may be causing problems and having intervention with that, helping us with our medication reviews. Looking at improved feedback, so this sort of thing with the Academic Health Science Network Polypharmacy Programme, where we've got information easily available for polypharmacy patients and allowing us to target those who are likely to be in greatest need of review. Work going on around training and development for pharmacists and for GPs. And then also work to address the sort of carbon impact of, you know, waste medicines, but also the work that's going on around trying to get better asthma care, which also involves a lower carbon care. So I think there's some of the things that are happening there.
So it's clear that responsibility does lie with individual prescribers as well as, you know, at a larger level. So thinking about addressing prescribing safety within a practice, what attitudes or approaches would you say are helpful or indeed unhelpful?
So I think leadership's clearly very important within the practice. You know, just recognizing, you know, what responsibility we have. And I know that responsibility weighs heavily on us as GPs. But having that leadership and getting your systems in place, I think is really, really important. So, you know, having an effective and a safe repeat prescribing system, making sure that your practice is sort of linked into the various safety initiatives that are going on, that you have a way of responding if safety alerts, for example, are issued by MHRA or other organisations. And then, you know, it's like with the work that we've done in patient safety in general, a lot of it comes down to just really good, high quality, dedicated staff that we have in general practice. I mean, it's just phenomenal what we have to be doing, the number of decisions we have to be making, often in a very short space of time over the course of a day. But that sort of dedication and focus, you know, bringing to the fore, you know, all your education and training, you know, to the task in hand, I think is also very, very important. Teamwork's clearly very, very important, and it's something where I think, you know, we are benefiting from having pharmacists working more closely with us, particularly in primary care, but also community pharmacists, but also the wider team. And it's, you know, so important in terms of, you know, we rely so much upon our administrative staff and other clinical staff in general practices, and making sure that we're all working very well together, and then making best use of the technologies that we've got.
Absolutely, totally. So just thinking now as a final point, what do you think's on the horizon for prescribing safety?
So I think there's a few things here. One is something called the Interoperable Medicines Programme, and this is where the aim is to try to make sure there is a sort of single medication record for each patient. So whether you're in general practice or hospital, that there's a single version of the truth which we all access. Now, it's going to take a little bit of time to get there, but the building blocks are in place for this. And it could and should mean that safety is improved at the interfaces between primary and secondary care, which is recognised to be one of the, you know, particularly risky areas. So when patients are admitted to hospital, then the hospital will genuinely have the up-to-date version of the truth of what medicines people are taking. If hospitals make changes to those medications, then that will be available to us in primary care, rather than the current system of getting a discharge communication and then having to carefully look through that and check against what they are taking at the moment. So I think that's one area which will be an improvement. Pharmacogenomics is also an area. Pharmacogenomics is taking account of a patient's genomic information, their genetic information, which may mean that they are more or less susceptible to certain medicines, or more or less susceptible to side effects from those medicines. And the idea is to be drawing upon that information to try and make better and safer prescribing decisions. It's an area slow to come, I think, in terms of primary care. I don't think it's going to be an absolute game changer, but it will make a difference to some patients. And I think increasingly we will be seeing genomic information coming into the fore and being part of a patient's records and parts of alerts that we get, you know, so that we can avoid prescribing medicines that may be harmful to patients. We can avoid prescribing medicines that just may not be effective in a particular patient. And then what I'd like to see is then better advice and information at the point of decision making. So the computer systems that we are using becoming even more sophisticated in providing us with the context specific helpful information for us to guide us in terms of the best and safest prescribing decisions, but also helping to do that at the point of medication review, so that all the relevant information comes together on a patient in an easy to use way, to again help guide us to be doing safe reviews and hopefully helping to rationalise patients' medicines.
Sounds like there's some really positive things coming forwards, and that is really good to hear.
Great.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. I'd like to say a big thank you to Professor Tony Avery for joining us to discuss prescribing safety. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this RCGP podcast, then please have a look at the e-learning website to find others on a variety of subjects.
Of particular interest may be the two accompanying modules on prescribing safety, which look at the background to prescribing safety, the progress which has been made, and steps for the future in promoting safe prescribing.
Goodbye.